And we are live with Chazza, Real Talk, brother. Oh, you can't do it with that hand.
How are you,
How you
mate?
Doing, man?
Pleasure,
I appreciate you, man. I really do.
Pleasure being on here, mate.
Ah, mate, we've been friends for a little while now and getting you on. Finally got you on.
Yeah, mate.
Mate, you've had a hell of a life, haven't you?
I have. And I've always wanted to do one of these podcasts. Grateful it's on your Paul Sansby podcast. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's correct.
Told you, I'm dyslexic Dave, so I'm trying. But, I would like to try and inspire as many people to watch this. My life, and it's still going. I'm still not where I want to be. So, what I've been through. So, take it away. So
take us back to the beginning, man. Starting from, I don't know, maybe your earliest memory, and just build up a picture of where it is. Because you've done a lot of social media over the years, and that's how I come across you first. When, like, in your early days of social media, you're just like wild and just out there, and it was electric to watch, but you can see that there was stuff going on in your head at the time that you were going through this. So take us back to the beginning from, like, you know, just give us a picture of who you were and how you ended up being where you're at today.
Started when I was 10. I was bullied as a kid. I remember very well. I was walking across the field. I'm still on the same estate now, and I still live by the field. And I walked across this field, and these two brothers, Sanctuaries they was called, Paul and Terry Sanctuary, and they used to bully me. And they were sitting on a wall, and obviously they've started as I'm walking home from school, and they beat me up again, and I've gone indoors crying. And my mum said, "Well, what's happened?" And I said, "They beat me up again, the two brothers, and they lived at the end of my estate." So my mum said, "Get in the car." So I got in the car, and we drove to their house, and she had a baseball bat. She went, "Take that." She went, "Go and knock on the door." She went and bash them one by one. She went, "Do what you got to do." She parked outside, stayed in the car, and I got out of the car. Didn't want to. I was petrified. But I felt I had to, and went and knocked on the door. And the mum answered, and she said, "What do you want?" I said, "I want your sons." I said, "They've just beat me up, and I want to fight them one-on-one." She went, "Move a bat." I said, "If it comes to that." And she went in. She come back out of the leaflet, and she gave me the leaflet. She went, "Go back home, give that to your mum." And I did, and it was a leaflet of boxing club, South Northern Victory, by Sellers Park. Crystal Palace. And my mum said, "Do you want to go?" And I said, "Well, I need to learn how to fight because I keep getting bullied." And I went and never looked back to become a great amateur boxer. Ended up having 50 fights, 12 losses as an amateur.
Wow.
Finals of the ABAs, schoolboy champion, NABC champion, national champion, represented England, represented London. But I never got that. I always fell short in life, and I just never got that push. My style wasn't suited to the amateurs. It was more jump on your toes and jab. I was a little tubby kid, and I was like, hustle bustle. I remember I got a phone call to fight for England, going over to Italy. And I'd never would have thought I would have got the opportunity. And I see my trainer for the England squad, and he was at the desk. And I'll never forget this. And I see him mind my name, and he come back, and I knew there was something not right here. So I pulled him aside. I said, "Tell me what's going on here. Why have you just gone to the desk and said my name, and they've just give you a ticket?" I think it was something like that. And he said, "Look, I'll be honest with you, Chaz. You wasn't picked for the England squad. David Burns was picked for the England squad, but he didn't want to fight. I'm sure it was David Burns. It might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. He didn't want to fight this Italian kid. He's unbeaten. He's something naughty." So they said, "You've got a lot of arsehole. We'll put Chaz in." So anyway, I was shitting myself off. I'm here now. I've just got to go and give it my best shot. It's pointless backing out. And then when we got to Italy, the trainer said, "I understand if you don't want to fight, just pull out." I said, "No, fuck it, I'm here." I went out there and I beat him, the only person ever to beat this Italian.
Wow.
And I said, right, I'm in the England squad. And they was like, well, David Burns is higher than you, so not really. You've just beat the... I said, I've just beat the kid that he didn't want to fight.
Yeah.
And then I spoke to Frank Maloney, Eugene Maloney, and I turned professional after that.
Wow. So how did it make you feel when you're gone to the England squad to go and fight for England? How did it make you feel when you found out that you wasn't supposed to be there?
Devastated. Always. It was the first start of my life when I realised that you start getting used. No one cares about you. No one cares about you. They use everybody out there in life. You get used. And unless you're benefiting other people, unless you're benefiting that person, no one gives them monkeys. They needed to fill the show. They needed someone to fight this Italian. The England number one didn't want to fight this Italian because he was scared he was going to lose. They knew that I got a bit of arsehole about me and I don't care. So they thought, well, Chaz would take the place.
Do you think that helped push you to beat him? Something that you had to prove to them now?
Yeah, of course. I wanted to beat him. I wanted to prove him all wrong. I wanted to fight for the England squad. I wanted to represent our country. And when I beat him, I was over the moon. I was like, right, now I'm in the England squad. Oh, sorry. So it was another kick up the arse. And it was like, well, are you joking? Like, I've just gone out there and I've just spun the Italian over. What have I got to do?
How hard was that fight?
Hard. Very hard. Very hard.
When he hit you, did you feel the difference between just sparring and doing your thing to fighting like someone that was competing for their other country?
I had to take his heart away. I was just standing there toe to toe and refused to give up. Right, I tell you, one of my hardest fights in the amateurs, I'm just going on this one, Tony Doherty.
Yeah.
He was my hardest fight. He was Paddy Doherty's brother, Tony. What a great fighter. Turned professional. He was unbeaten. And I went to Wales in the ABA finals. And they all said to me, Chaz, pull out this fight. Tony Doherty, he's mustard.
It's a tough family.
Listen, Tony Doherty was one of the best boxers. He'll probably see this and he'll put his hands up. One of the best boxers you've ever seen. And he's, God rest his dad, he's passed away, but his dad's a lovely man. And after the fight, his dad come up and said, you was winning that fight. You would have beat my son there. You've got some bollocks on your boy. I'll never forget his dad saying that to me. But yeah, I was winning the fight. I come back in the second round and I said to my trainer, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm winning a fight. I knew I was winning. I'm beating him. I told you I could do it because he was telling me to pull out a fight. It was the ABA finals. No way. And he said, just keep doing what you're doing, Chaz. Stay on your toes now. It's the last round. Don't get involved. I said, no problem. I've gone out there. He's hit me. I've hit him. I've thrown my hands down. I've stood toe to toe with this Tony Doherty. I got all the travellers screaming and shouting, Tony Doherty. I'm standing again. Come on. We're toe to toe. And I woke up on about 12 count. But what a fight. I can't remember getting knocked out, but it must have been a good punch. But he was some fighter, Tony Doherty. So, yeah.
There are some good fighters on that firm.
Yeah.
Real good fighters.
Yeah, there is. There is. But yeah, that was that little story.
Was that the first time you got knocked out?
That was the first time I've ever been knocked out.
How'd that make you feel?
That I actually can't remember.
But did you come around, because you said it was such a good fight and you give it your all. Did you come out of that not as like down in that lot?
I walked out. I was out, but I still got up and we shaked hands. Gentlemen, it's a gentleman's sport, you know, boxing. And I got the respect from the fans and his family. And like I said, they pulled me aside and said, you was beating my son. You was beating the best fight my son's ever had. And that gave me a little bit of a, you know what, I've got something here.
Yeah. It's quick how a fight can turn, though.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Proof's in the pudding.
Absolutely brilliant. Have you fought him any more since?
No, but I still speak to Tony on Facebook and that. He's a lovely fellow, got a family and he's cracking on.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's good that you stayed in contact.
Yeah.
I think, like, a lot of people, they get so confused with boxing, bare knuckle, or anything like that, that it has to be, like, you're going to get it, you're a cunt, you're this, you're that, that they're failing to see that it is a gentleman's sport.
It's a gentleman's sport. Listen, You only lose when you give up. You don't lose. There's two people in there fighting, but none of you are losers.
Nah.
You lose, but you learn. So you're a winner.
Yeah.
Because you've learned from that experience.
Yeah, I hear that.
So I think, you know, people say, oh, he lost that fight. Yeah, but he learned from that fight.
Mm.
So who's the winner now? You're only typing and talking.
Yeah.
You're not doing what he's doing.
How do you find that now? A lot, especially with social media, I mean, because, like, a lot of people, they tend to stay strong social media platform-wise because it's easy. It's easy to down someone when they're sitting on your sofa watching Family Guy. Do you know what I mean?
I'm past that. Before, when I first started doing social media and obviously doing my videos, I remember a guy and he typed so much rubbish to me, but it got to me mentally. So I sent him my address. I said, come on, there's my address. I'm in now. Come and see me. And we'll sort it out. And I spoke to, I think it might have been Dapper Laughs. And he said, no, what are you doing? I said, mate, he's just written his stuff on a messenger. He said, it's social media. That's what people do. They're typers. They're talkers. Like, don't be giving your address out. I said, well, I want him to come around my house and see if he can front it. He was like, no, delete the message. And then I realised after that I shouldn't be giving my address out. But yeah, social media can be bad. Can be bad. Depends how you take it. You've got to learn just to, you know, with the negative people and the typers, there's a block button. It's lovely. You just block. I'm not interested in gaining any more followers, gaining any more recognition. I know me for me. So you can type. But you don't even do it once.
Yeah.
Because I'll block.
Yeah.
I don't entertain it.
I think that's the best way to do it. You're killing them without actually killing them. Because they just do their nothing. They're like, oh, how am I supposed to get hold of him now? You can't.
Just leave them to rot. Let them borrow their mates for it. Let's have a look. Have you got that Chaz on there? Can I have a look? See what he's doing? And then you got to give that phone back. So, yeah, that's just the best way to do it.
Mm.
Don't get roped into social media. Don't get roped into messages and talkers. And someone's going to do something. They're not going to tell you they're going to do it. They're just going to do it.
Yeah.
It's old school, isn't it? I'm not going to tell someone I'm going to do this to you.
Well, you're going to be expecting it. Or not.
You know, it's stupid.
So you've gone from, you know, fighting for your country and you're putting your name in there and finding out that, you know, you're not in the England squad to going on and fighting great fighters like the one you've just described. Where are you going from this?
I had enough. That fight with Tony Doggett was before I represented England. England was my last straw. And then I turned pro. Eugene Maloney, Frank Maloney's brother, down at Old Kent Road Fight Factory.
Yeah.
The old Henry Cooper on Tilmina Road. The old Henry Cooper pub. Can't think now. Camberwell.
Do you know where it is?
Where?
The Henry Cooper pub. Old Kent Road. Old Kent Road. Henry Cooper pub. The gym above the pub, the corner. If you've done it right there, Maloney's Fire Factory, he opened it up just down there. I turned pro with them. I was always in the Henry Cooper with Bobby Patchett, an old trainer, with all the pros, which I experienced all the pros in there. And then, yeah, like I said, after the England squad, sorry to ramble on, after the England squad, I went to turn pro. Eugene Maloney and Frank Maloney approached me, and I just spun over. I was 19, I turned pro.
How'd that make you feel? Like, yes, I've actually done it.
I'm here. Thomas and Beckett, that's correct. Yeah, when I turned pro, I was buzzing and I sold tickets. But it isn't like it is now. Years ago when you turned pro, I'd sign a fight deal. So when I signed my fight deal, It was like, we give you four fights. Whether you sell one ticket, 100 tickets, you're going to be on £1,500 a fight. That's what I was on for the first four fights. And then I'll step it up to a six-rounder, and I'll be on another four-fight deal for a six-rounder, and I'll be on $2,500 a fight. Whether you sell, now you've got to sell tickets. Everything, you got to sell tickets. Back then, you didn't have to. But I was a big ticket seller anyway. I would go and sell 200 tickets at your call. Ask why I sold so many tickets.
Why did you sell so many tickets?
Because I was a pisshead in the pub. Listen, it goes hand in hand. Eventually, it caught up with me, but I was in the pubs, always floating about, always life and soul at a party, getting on the bar, karaoke, stripping off naked, just being me. So when I come to fight, it'd be like, Jazz is fighting, but let's go and watch him, he's off his head. And I used to walk in the pub and I'd go and sell 50 tickets in that pub, I'd go and sell 30 tickets in that pub. It was easy for me.
Where was the transition for you? Because coming pro and supposedly meant to be looking after your temple to being a lad, being down the pub, like, where was it? Where was you? Like, how did you separate that?
Well, I did. Obviously, I used to like a drink. Still do. I'll have a Stella's and that. But 6 weeks before a fight, I'd stop. It was easy. But I'd still go in the pub and have an orange juice and chill with all the boys. And
I've witnessed this myself at a birthday party we went to.
And just sell my tickets. But yeah, some good times. And I'm thinking I got to 12-0. I was 12-0 as a pro. Cutthroat business again. I let it catch up with me. Real talk. I thought I was better than what I was.
Whoa. You said that as the lightning come in.
Someone's watching.
Oh, my God. How was that? Wow. I don't know whether you guys just heard that, but literally, just as he said that, the earth opened up.
They're telling me, don't tell him everything.
As soon as you said that, it was like, wow. I want to know what that's telling you not to say. Come on, give it to me.
But yeah.
Don't you stop now.
No, what was I on?
I don't know, but whatever you said opened up the sky.
Oh, Frank Maloney phoned me up one. Sorry. I got to 12-0. I suppose it is when I hit 8-0. I thought I was saying I weren't. And I'll be honestly real with you. Real talk again. I used to go out and, what's happening? Festival fire, you know, girls. What led with girls? Booze. What led with booze? Drugs.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Did you build it? When I first started with you, was that you?
No. I've always been
fine. Or was that your 12-0? Your ego, your lad? No. Was that?
That's a different subject to that. Come on to that. That'd be a different. That will relate to something I'm going to say a little bit later
okay,
on.
Okay, okay.
With the boxing side, yeah, I was a good fighter. Could have done a lot more. Ended up being naughty. I remember being in a hotel. I've got to be careful now because I have got a missus now. But I remember being in a hotel with someone and up all night. And I said, I've got a fight. You're cool. And I ended up getting a taxi, got my gym bag, my shorts and that, went to your call, knocked the geezer out in the second round. I went back to the hotel and carried on.
Wow.
I look back, it's disgusting. It makes me feel sick. Thank you.
But there's a lot of signs here, man.
A lot. But yeah, I got a lot of regrets, but I went with it. And then Frank Maloney phoned me up I was 12-0 then, and said, you got to fight Ross Minna, which I wanted this fight about a year before, and they wouldn't have it. And I was in the toilet on an ex-boxers association. And she's, this is real talk. And I'm having a wee. And I've heard, all right, Chaz? And I've looked, it's Alan Minna, who beat Marvin Hagler.
Yeah.
Alan Minna, the first ever, was he the first? No, the middleweight champion of the world, weren't he? Yeah. And he went, all right, Chaz? And it's Ross's dad. And I went, hello, Al. He went, listen, my son, I never fight you. You're too much of a danger man. He said, we're trying to wrap him up and get him the right fights at the right time. And I went, that's a shame. It'd be a good fight. And he went, no, you're too much. And I walked out the toilet. So I knew I weren't going to get that fight. And then, I got called up by Frank Maloney a year later. Said, you got a fight. Ross Minna, Southern Area title. I was a champion, defending Southern Area title. I said, you can't do that to me. 2 weeks notice. So I've just come back from Greece. I said, I'm not a stone half overweight. So he said, we'll give you $5,000. I said, no. I said, I'm the champion. Listen, we're going to give you $7,000. It's the most anybody's got paid for a Southern Area title. We're going to give you $7,000. So I said, all right, seven grand. Listen, at the minute, I think I was in some flat listening to a pirate station off me head anyway. So I was like, $7,000. I said, my mate's going to me, get more. And I'm like, I'm going to think about it. And I'll never forget any turnaround. I mean, think about it as much as you like. If you don't take the $7,000, you're going to go to America. No, it weren't Germany. You have to go to Germany and get a license. I ruined your whole boxing career. Because he was Frank's boy. So anyway, I took the fight. The first fight I lost, got stopped in the third round. Lost the Southern Area title. That was that.
How'd that make you feel?
I got on a plane a week later. Fucked off to Greece. Done a summer out there. Partying. Forgot about boxing for 5-6 months. Come back. And I was already lost.
Was that your hardest loss?
Yeah.
Because it was a title? Or because of who?
One of my hardest losses. Just where I'd never got the right 6 to 8 weeks training camp. But that's my own fault. I should have always stayed in shape. And we don't as fighters. So they knew what they was doing. I knew they never wanted to take the fight with me. His dad even said it.
Yeah.
But yeah, give me a 2 week notice, knowing that I've got to lose a stone and a half, knowing that I ain't going to be the same guy I turned up on that night. It's a different ball game. I was a great fighter if I turn up in my head.
Yeah.
If I was there in my head, no one would beat me. If I'm training to lose weight, I'm not training for the fight. I'm worrying about losing weight. I'm worrying about the money. There's a difference. Some people fight for the love of fighting to be the best. Some people fight for the money or the fighting to try and lose weight. Selling tickets, it all goes hand in hand. You know, boozing with the boys, out with all your mates, and you got to be in with the crowd. It's
a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. You got to think, I'm going out all night partying. I'll get up in the morning and do a run. 6 times out of 10, did I do that? No. Did I always cheat myself? Later on in my professional career, yeah. Did I think I was better than what I was? Yeah. Was my head too big? Yeah. That's just real talk. And I thought I was saying that I'm not. We're all normal, we're all human beings. And sometimes fame and can get you a certain way.
Yeah, I think it's a very cutthroat career to be in boxing, because there's so many different levels of boxing that you can go to. Gloves, no gloves. Then you've got all of the advertising of it. The hype, some of it's real, some of it's fake. You know, some people would just do it to sell the tickets. I think a lot of the time, a lot of the heart is taken out of it just because of the to and fro in between. you know, you see a lot of, like, say, for instance, Tyson Fury's last fight, he won it, right? But instead of Tyson turning up like he normally does, where he's, like, burly and wild and that lot, he was just, like, a lot more relaxed and stuff. And then with that, you think to yourself, I don't know, he might lose this one because he's not his normal self. Do you know what I mean? Where he's like wild singing and making cracking jokes and stuff. So when he was like a lot more relaxed, but it weren't, he was just more focused and he took it a little bit more serious. I don't know, but it was different. You hear people on social media saying different things about that. Oh, he might lose this one because he looks nervous. He looks like he's... So already people have made up that you're a winner just because of how you turn up in between the fight. Are you with me?
Yeah. I don't know what we say.
You're right. It's the hype. Sometimes the hype is people pay attention to the hype more than what they hype pay sells. Attention.
Hype sells. Mm. Tyson Fury, he didn't need to hype it. He sold himself already. He's a multi-millionaire. So he was just chilled and relaxed. He knew what he was going to do to Dillon White. He doesn't need to hype it. Before, if you look back in his start of his career, he'd throw tables up in press conferences.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
To get the hype.
Yeah.
To get the... People, as long as people are tuning in, whether it's to see you lose because they hate you, it doesn't really matter. As long as you're tuning in, you're subscribing, everyone's getting paid.
So from this and your boxing...
And sorry, Tyson Fury turned it around as well, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He was very off the rails, you know, back in them days.
Mm.
And he suffered through mental health, and he went on the drugs, and he turned up 22 stone.
Yeah.
And he spun his life around. So he doesn't need to. He found himself, if you understand where I'm coming mm-hmm. from. He didn't know himself back then, is what I see. Not that I'm putting out.
Yeah, that's what I'm I mean. That's what I pulled him up as a.
He didn't know himself. And a lot of people don't really know themselves until they find themselves mm. and realize what needs to be done. What life's about.
Mm.
It's experience. You've got to, sometimes you've got to go through what you've got to go through to experience it. Hopefully you come out on the other side. And like me, I just want to, I spun my life around and I went through shit. And I just want to, it's real talk and it's real life with me on my journey. And I just want to try and inspire people. Let people know my story. Let people see what I've been through. Let them put my day-to-day struggles on social media because life ain't all sunshines and rainbows, you know. And a lot of these people on social media, Instagram, all you see is photos that are airbrushed and with Lamborghinis. What about when you lose that Lamborghini? What about when you can't go out for a meal and you've got to have chips because you can't afford a sausage from the corner shop because your rent's due? And you've just lost your... No one puts that up there. And people that are going through sometimes depression and mental health, sometimes it helps them to see, listen, I'm not the only one on my ass. And if, when they watch me, if Chazza can go through that, so can I. That's all I try and get across to people is we're all the same. We all bleed. Colour, race, male, female.
Tell us about some of your struggles, man, because we were talking before the cameras went on and you done a run for it, and I was just like, wow, I didn't know some of that stuff about you. And I can see why you've been in pain mentally with some of the stuff that you was just expressing to start with. And I was a little bit blown away with it. I was listening to you, but at the same time, I was thinking about what I've seen, what you've shown people is... It was almost all real. We are witnessing some storm today, I'm telling you. Wow. Like,
a lot of people. And I think they're going to know I'm going to talk about them. But, yeah. I haven't had it easy, and I don't want sympathy because not everybody has it easy. You probably have it. I know you don't have it easy with your conditions. Each and every person in this room don't, and everyone's got a story to tell. There was, yeah, I've lost my sister when she was 12 from leukemia. My brother passed, Raymond, from drugs overdose. So yeah, things haven't been easy. Listen, Mum and Dad's done the best they can for me. As much as I've always gone off the rails, you know, I got kicked out of junior school, got kicked out of high school, and my dad's very old school, and I love my dad to bits. He's like my best friend. I remember when I got kicked out, he said, "You want to be a man? Go and get a job. You want to be a man? Go and get a job." And I got a job, and I was on £14 a day, and I used to pay half of that to my dad for rent. Old fashioned way, innit? Old school, you didn't want to be a man? Go and be a man. Go and pay your rent. Go work. 14 years old. So that's what I did. Regret, but I guess with all things going on, sometimes it's hard to stand the straight and narrow. I was never really a school person. But yeah, obviously, I got mixed up. I was still boxing all this time as well. Got mixed up on the wrong people. I remember selling drugs, working for a drug dealer. Not going to mention no names. A couple of them have passed. Can't mention, but those that we're sponsor. This was when I turned professional. And I remember driving. He said, "Take this car. Go to so-and-so pub, car park. Someone's going to meet you there." And drove this car to the car park, parked up. Always thought I was a gangster. Always thought I was a gang, hanging around with the bigger lot. Always thought I was a gangster. And I won. I was a runabout. I was a mug. I used to make them laugh, make them smile, and they used to go, "Come on, Chaz, are you with us tonight?" I pulled up in a car park anyway, and a man opened the door, and he said, "You got it?" I said, "Got what?" And he put his hand at the back of the seat, and there was a slice in the seat. Pulled out a gun. That's when my stomach turned. I thought, and he shut the door. He said, "Go on your way." And then I realised I'm in deep here. I'm in a bit too deep here. Dropping off shooters. Got back to where I got to this fella. And I said, the geezer just took a fucking shooter out of the mower. What's that? He said, "Listen, shut your fucking mouth. Do as you're told." He said, "You're getting dough at the end of the week. Don't ask questions." And I thought, this is my mate. And I had to sit there for a little bit and think, he's meant to be my pal, and he's just made me drop a gun off. But I was too deep to get out. It got further and further, and I was dropping bags of coke here and kilos here and kilos there. Just ended up sniffing more than all. It just got upside down, big spiral. He ended up. But I knew everyone. I get on with everybody. So I've got a group here, group there, group there. I know them all. Even though they hate each other, I was never a talker. I was never, "How are we?" They never asked me what they said. They never asked me what they said.
Yeah.
I was just me. One got shot. Boom. It's got in too deep. Just got in too deep, had to step back, realised where I was. By that time, it was too late, and already found out what powder was, and already had that reputation, everyone looking at me. Chaz is with that little firm, you know what I mean? He's with that little firm, he's doing bits. Got that little bit of a fear. I used to enjoy it, I used to like it. It's a bit caught up on you. I got out of it eventually, stepped back. This ain't for me. This ain't a bit of me. Seeing things I never wanted to see before in my life. You know, I've seen one who was in a flat, and I remember a fella coming in, screaming, blood everywhere. It makes me feel sick. His whole stomach was just ripped open, and he had been stabbed, and he was saying they're coming back to the gaff, and I'm sitting in this gaff thinking, I'm a kid. I'm a kid. What am I doing here? People coming back, if they've done that to him, what are they going to do to me? But because I was a boxer, they always used to like me round them. I was game as a pebble. I'd always be the first one in there. Until I realised I've got to walk away. And I walked away. Didn't fall out of none of them. Just said, this ain't a bit of me. You know, I'm in too deep here and I don't want it. I don't want it.
Did they let you walk away?
Let me go and let me go.
How old was you at this time?
20, when I walked away, about 24, 25.
So you stayed in the game for quite a bit then.
Yeah, I used to tell my mum I was working in a nightclub in a cloakroom. Because I was never on.
Was it easy to like, to your mum about that?
My mum ain't stupid. She ain't stupid. She knows what goes on. You know, she knows. I mean, home asking me, mum, I owe someone money. And later in the line, can you help me out? Threatening to stab me and do this. And she was like, why'd you get yourself involved in this shit? You know? Don't realise you're full of the crowd. Everyone wants to be a gangster until it's time to be a gangster. That's the real talk about it. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to be talk at a pub and everyone wants to be feared. Why do you want to be feared? Well, I don't understand why people want to be feared. There's a great saying my dad always said to me. Do you see when you're in a pub and you'll say, see John over there? He can half have a fucking fight. You should see what he done to this geezer. Stabbed him, beat him. And then I'll go, yeah, see that geezer John over there? He's a fucking lunatic. He opened some geezer up, absolutely ironed him out. Before you know it, everyone in the pub's talking about John. He's an absolute lunatic. He's probably stabbed him six times now. Times the conversation's gone round. No one knows about this John until John gets one on the chin. That's why I'm always a game as a pebble, because everyone's a gangster until it's time to be a gangster. Everyone talks a good fight until it's time to have a fight. Everyone can say, he's a lunatic. He can have a fight. How do you know he can have a fight? Because you've seen him throw a couple of punches and knock someone out. How do you know I can't throw a couple of punches and knock him out? You don't. That's the moral of the story. Everyone can fight. Everyone is a gangster. So I just believe in, I don't like it when people talk about certain people saying, if someone comes up to me in a pub and says, he can't leech over, he's a fucking lunatic, he can half go. He might be able to go. Not debating that. But who's to say, I don't hit him first and he goes? Mm-hmm. Do you understand? It's about that fear. People fear certain people before you've tested that person.
Tested them, yeah.
My dad's always taught me that from growing up. So I've never really had that fear. Because you don't know until you try. And you can only what? Lose, get up and go again. Right. You can only lose, you can only get beat up once. And you learn from me and go, fuck me. You can half have a row. How do you know? Because you bashed me up. That'd probably be Carton. But do you know where I'm going on that sort of story?
Yeah.
A lot of people talk these day and age, and a lot of people type it and talk it instead of walking it.
Yeah, there's a lot of keyboard yourself. Warriors out there, man.
There is.
There is a lot of people out there that think that the fight is won by typing negative on social medias and being that way. They think that they've won the fight and they act like they've won the fight. But they haven't tested the theory.
100%. I remember I'll tell you a true story. It vouched me. Double laughs. How I met him. Come out of a club and listen, realistically, like I said to you earlier, who's going to fight? If you know that geezer, there's a bare knuckle fighter, ex-professional boxer, boxed for a world title. Are you going to have a fight if you ain't a boxer? Are you going to have a fight with him, or are you going to put something over his head or stab him? Obviously not stab him, but you're going to put something over his head or something, aren't you?
Well, this day and age, you don't know if they're going to stab you or not, right?
I ain't going to. If someone said to me, God, have you seen Paul? He was an ex-professional. He's a bare knuckle fighter, blah, blah, blah. But you've upset me or I don't like you and I see you. I'm going to think, fuck fighting him, mate. I'm going to go and stick something straight over his nut when he ain't looking. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
But we come outside a club lit. It weren't called that years ago. There was two geezers there. That was standing by the wall. Looked petrified. And he was going, because he'd done a joke for ITV2. He got kicked off ITV2. It was a homophobic joke. And they was giving it to him, calling him a sexist and this and that. And Dapper was all petrified. So I come outside and I said, whoa, 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 boys. I said, leave him alone. I said, that is called bullying. I said, you're bullying the man. I said, look, he's standing there. He don't want to know, mate. What are you bullying him for? And one of them turned around to me and he went, see you, Chaz, I know you are. You can fuck off. And as he said that, I thought, here we go. I just spun around and whack with a left hook. But I sunk him straight away. He was out cold. His mate come running over to do me. I went, whack, knocked him out cold. Everyone's going to try and jump on him. I went, no, 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 fuck off. I said, leave him alone. Let him have a kip. That was like, ah, oh, Chaz, mate, what have you done? Thank you so much. I said, no drama. Anyway, everyone was trying to jump on these two boys, men. So I let him get up. Old school, it's just morals, how you've been taught up. So I let him get up anyway. I told him to fuck off. Go on, you're bullies. Go away. On Twitter, it was about 2 days later, Dapper phoned me up. And he said, hey, mate, he said, you need to look out, mate. He said, it's all on Twitter. I said, what's on Twitter? He said, well, they've said on Twitter that Dapper Laughs and 10 mates have jumped him outside the nightclub. And they're going to the old Bill, blah, blah, blah. I said, you fucking joking? He said, mate, just stay low. So I went on Twitter and I put a message. I went, hello, mate. It wasn't Dabba Laughs and 10 mates. My name's Chaz. It was me. I was on my own. You two was bullying Dan outside the club and I knocked a pair of you out. So if you want to go to the old Bill, go to the old Bill. Never heard nothing back. It was just real talk. It was just the bullies got bullied. But that's how I met Dabba.
So you weren't there together?
No.
Wow.
No, I just see him getting bullied outside.
You do a lot together, though, don't you?
We do now, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we've become really close friends, yeah. He's helped me. Bundles, and I'm grateful. Yeah.
Yeah, he does make me laugh, but he's another one that suffers with, mental health and everything else, like each and every one of us. And I think it's good, especially in this day and age, that we are able to speak about that. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I think men and their thoughts have been locked away for so long that we've all suffered our own lonely fate of being able to feel like we can't express ourselves. We're not allowed to express ourselves. We can't. It's wrong for a man to be able to speak weak, but it really isn't. Because when you do actually speak out and you do reach out, the amount of people that reach back in to be like, thank you, because you've come out, that's enabled me to come out 100%. And be able to talk about being lonely, about being suicidal, about being off the rails, taking drugs, because I think if a lot more people spoke out and a lot more people reached in, I think there'll be a lot more people saved. They wouldn't have to find solace in drugs because they can't handle the silence. Because when you're suffering, you truly are suffering. When you are silent, Everyone outside might not be able to hear you, but inside there is a scream going on that's so loud that you can't sit there in silence because it just goes off there constant.
This is a mental health with me, and I'd love one day to get up and do a speech for people to come down to talk, because when you go through struggles, there is not people out there that want to listen. They wait until you've killed yourself and then they write on a status, "I was here if only I'd known." No, that's bollocks. That's bollocks. Because I've been through so much shit, so many mental healths, drug addiction, tried to take my life, nothing. I still suffer now with mental health. Is anyone there? Are your mates? Where are your mates? They'd be quick to put a status up when something bad happens. They ain't fucking coming around or picking up the phone. That's just real talk, moral of the story, mate. And it hurts me to say it, but, you know, I've been in situations that I would never want to see people in situations like. And I just try and tell my story. And, you know, when I was on social media, I started social media like I was telling you earlier. There was a persona, Double Hard Scatmolder. Yeah, I've got a great, great platform. And we used to have fun and take packet and fly, don't drink and drive, and smashing TV, CCTV off walls and pulling scaffolds over. And it was fun, but fun for them to watch, not for me, because in my head, really, I was going home on my own and I was doing drugs on my own and I was fighting my own battles. I was fighting my own battles. You know, I lost my scaffold company. I was jumping on flights out my head, not knowing where I was, asking air hostesses, "Where am I?" Standing at a luggage case, hoping my case had come round, because I was off my nut the night before, and my mate had booked me a flight. All your mates there, they're all round you when you got a bit of gear, you got a bit of money, you're buying the rounds. Where are they when you ain't? Where are they? They don't pick up the phone. What, because I don't do drugs no more? No one wants to speak to me, no? Because I sorted my life out. No one wants to give me a phone charge coming down for an orange juice, no?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you can still go into a pub. It doesn't mean you've got to drink alcohol and sniff gear,
do
it?
I don't need it. I don't need it. Listen, I ain't done drugs for, got to be 5 years now, 4 years, 5 years. Don't entertain me. Not bothered. Beer, I like a beer. But I don't need a beer. I'll go out and socialise. I have two beers, that'll do me. I'm all right. I've sort of worked out with what I've gone through and where I am. Listen, if I go away, I'll get drunk, I'll have a laugh. But all the other stuff, you know, I went through bad times and mental health. And listen, I was saying earlier, whoever's suffering with mental health, just reach out and talk and speak to someone. I would say a family member, let them know, sister or brother, a mum or dad. And it's so hard to do that. I never done that. I wish I had. Because they're the only people that really care about you. You might have one or two good mates that care, but I would say speak to a family member and just sit down and say, "Look, I've got a problem. I'm having demons," and whatever your reason may be, would be to speak to a family member. I didn't do that. I was fighting demons with myself, and I ended up going down a path I didn't want to go down, always dabbling, always starting off with a little bit of pinch, drink, and you'd have a little half a gram, and you'll go out and you'll party and you'll dance, and it was a gram. You never think you'd catch up, wouldn't you? Before you know it, you're an addict. Before you know it, you're in deep shit. Your mental health's going AWOL. You're indoors on your own. Doing drugs, talking to yourself. Don't want to be here no more. I've done 12 grams of gear. Called myself an ambulance, so I tried to take my life. tried to take my own life. And just when you think about it, the amount of people that you're going to put through, because you went down the wrong path, and you just needed to talk to someone. Sometimes it gets you can't see past it, and no one's there. You just got a camera, a phone, social media. Everyone's laughing. You're getting nothing from it, and you're going home, and you're shutting the door, and you're crying on your own. Nothing else to do. And I didn't want to be here. I wanted it over. I can't keep being this person that I'm not. I know deep down I'm not that person, but I couldn't get rid of it. But I just want to get a message out there, really, to everyone, that there's always light at the end of the tunnel, you know. I ended up phoning myself an ambulance. I took so many tablets, everything in the cupboard, to try and OD and go to sleep and not wake up. My heart was racing, and I was at the end of my tether. Took all the pills. I don't know why, I don't know how. Someone said, "What are you doing?" And I phoned an ambulance. Went to hospital, come out, 3 days. And they said, "We don't know how you're alive. You got heart palpitations," and I had something else on my heart. And they said, "You do it again, you'll be dead." Simple as that. You know, and then from that day, I took myself to CA meetings. And told my stories. Occasionally, I still go down to CA meetings, which makes me giggle, because someone said to me, "Why do you still go there now and again?" I said, "Why?" They said, "Well, you don't do it." I said, "I know, but I like to go in there and just tell the people in there a story to help them. I just want to give something back,
show it's possible,
just to show them." You know, you go down that, I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. I know how you're feeling when you're sitting at home. It's going to be all right. But you've got to fucking want to do it yourself. You've got to know there's light at the end of the tunnel. And if I can do it, you can do it. I'm the world's fucking worst. That's why I do my social media. I spun it around on social media now. I lost a lot of followers because that lunatic, that gearhead, is changed. And I'm a little bit like, no more negative vibes, no more, I'm positive, I'm training all the time. And I spun it around just to try and help people, to let them know my story. They've been there from the start, and they've seen where I am now. Life's good at the minute, and I'm happy. I've got a lovely missus. Things are on the up. Back fighting. I wouldn't look back. The past is your past. I don't like looking back on the past. It brings a tear to my eye.
Yeah, this is.
It brings a tear to my eye. The past is the past. It's all right to stop now and again, have a little look back, but then leave it and keep going, because you know where I'm going. You know, I'm the only one left on my cancer estate. I want out. I want a better life for me, my missus. I want to start a family. I want a next chapter. I want the next chapter.
It made me smile, man. You just took your story from realizing you're an addict, suicide, straight into I want a family. I want
a chapter. I want a new chapter. I want to show everyone out there what life's about living, what it's all about. about that rose there in the past. That's the past. It's gone. It's gone. I've experienced it. That's a bad, bumpy road. Yeah. Now I'm on a straight tarmac road. And I'm going.
The fact you realise that there's no way that you want to go back to that person again is a great leap forward for you from being able to keep following that path that you're going on, that positivity. And yeah, you've lost people. And at some point in your life, I'm sure that really mattered, that if you was losing the odd people. And I think, me personally, I think they should take the numbers off of social media. They should take the like counter button off social media. Do you know what I mean? I think they should take it all off, because so many people are falling into the trap that if the numbers ain't saying right, then people ain't going to think you're famous. They're not going to think that you're someone great. I think if we're all equal, which we are, and it's up to 100%. Us, and it's up to us to show people the goodness instead of all the negative. And negative thrives on social 100%. Media. It thrives a lot more than the positive. We had this talk before with you and Atik and Wendy at the very start that, like, people live for them numbers. If they took them numbers away, you're just looking at a photo, like a photo album.
I used to be like that.
Yeah.
I used to be like that. Now I'm not really... I'm interested in how many people can I make feel better
inspire.
Or
inspire.
Inspire, that's the word. How many people can I inspire? In the mornings I wake up and I'll be doing a run and I'll say, right, not me, let's go. Someone might read that and go, do you know what, he's right, let's go.
And it's true, because I got that vibe from you. When I see you, when you was on holiday, when you went abroad a little while ago and I saw you up, running up the hill and on the beach doing the shadow box and everything, I was like, I'm feeling that energy.
Yeah, it's just about good energy. And listen, we can be and do anything we want in this world. You know, no one's going to do it for you. No one's going to wipe your ass. Only you can make the change in yourself. Only you can do something that's going to help you. No one around you can, they can advise you, whether it go in there and out there. But it's all about your thoughts. It's all about your energy. It's all about what you want to become. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about now. You know, you might go home tonight and go, you know what? I need to lose a stone. I'm going to go for a nice late night walk before I go to bed. Why not? Why not? Go and have a little think to yourself. Put your headphones on, have a nice stroll. Half hour. What's half hour? You sit on your phone for 3 hours a day. What's half hour? Nice walk, listen to some relaxing music. Nothing, is it?
You need to change your social media from Chazza Real Talk to Chazza Inspire.
But it's just where I want to go in my life now, and it's how I want to feel daily, and it's... That's left over there now. This is where I'm at. This is how I want to feel. It's like the negative vibes. I leave them there. I'm not interested. I'm really not. You know, I'm doing this bare knuckle boxing now. It's keeping me fit. My missus wants me to give up. But I like the fire in me. I like it.
When you were born a fighter, you're always a fighter.
It's hard. But yeah, things are on the up. Things are good.
Yeah, you got a good girl.
Got a very good girl.
Yeah, met her.
I'm lucky.
Yeah, it's lovely. And let me ask you, when you look in the mirror now, what do you see?
What do I see?
Yeah.
Absolute soft. I look in the mirror now and I see a man that's come from nothing. He's had nothing. I lived in a caravan. I didn't talk to my mum. My mum and dad, I didn't talk to them for like 2 years. I lived in a caravan on my own. I've been there and done it. I've struggled. I've done the struggle. I've done the mistakes. I've done it all. You know, there's nothing more for me to do in my past. It's done. It's gone. And I don't want to see anybody go through that, because I was lucky enough to make it out the other side and find the straight road to keep going. A lot of people ain't lucky enough to make it out of that. Mm. The struggle's real. I still struggle now, day to day. People think because you've got a few followers on social media, you're famous. I'm not famous. Listen, I'm the council kid. Someone put on Facebook the other day, what celebrity would you like to get a reply from? And someone tagged me and I see it on Facebook. I put, mate, what are you on about? It's, how are you? One day we'll meet up for a drink. Because I ain't a celebrity. I'll just do me and I just try and inspire people. What we were saying earlier about the acting. I was in Rise of the Foot Soldier. They give me a little bit in that. And someone on the sideline said, you need to get qualifications. And I sat there and I thought, you know what? It ain't about doing these films because I've got a big following and I'm going to bring a lot of traffic to that film. That person's right. I need to do it like every other Joe, Jim and John and Wayne. Go and do my course, my acting course. Go and lay on the floor. Kick like a baby. That's what I had to do. It was embarrassing. Paid for it myself. Saved up the money at work. Saved up. Paid for it myself. Got my results. Qualified actor. In my beginner's course. Now hopefully something come from that. And I'll get an opportunity to be in a movie. Dab is going to put me in one of his films. Wendy's got a link. She's going to put us in one of the films with you lot. So now it's just about just keep on making another step, making another goal, reaching something else. Do you know what I mean? You're never in life, you're never going to stop reaching or setting goals. You're always going to go, I want better. I want to do that. I want to do that. You know what? Let's do that. You know what I mean? I've never been on a cruise yet. I'd like to do that.
I'd like to do a cruise.
There's always, that's what I'm saying. There's always something else to do.
Yeah.
Never be content with, that's my life.
I'm done.
Sit there, EastEnders, Coronation Street, Emmerdale, back to Coronation Street, back to EastEnders. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Well,
sitting on the toilet on your phone.
Boring.
Wake up, open your eyes on the phone.
It's boring, isn't it? Go and get a goal. Go and do something. Start a business. Start something. Go to acting school. Got a nice voice. Go and book up on Google an acting course, a singing course. Think you can fight? Go to a boxing gym and have a little go on a punch bag. Try and get in another spa. Set a goal. Anything. Think you can knit? Go and get some sticks and knit and go and start knitting. Anything you want to do, you can do. But always have a goal where you're always searching for that something. You know what I mean? Want to lose weight? Go start walking if you can't run. If you can't walk, crawl. Do something. There's no excuses. And that's just what I've learnt from the past. This is where I'm at now. And I'm positive, and I want better things and greater things. And I've just started my own business now. Real Talk, Rubbish Clearance. Get at us. We're on Instagram, Real Talk, Rubbish Clearance. Just started that up. Keeping it real. We're grafters. Listen, social media don't pay all these people. I'm on social media. I've got 100,000 followers. What's that matter, mate? They ain't paying your rent, I know. So stop putting a photo where you airbrush it next to your next door's Lamborghini, neighbour's Lamborghini. What a lovely day. And then you turn the camera off, you go, oh, my fucking skin, how am I going to pay this rent this month? Go and get a fucking job. Listen, all these people that are watching me, they ain't buttering my bread.
Mm.
So I don't give a fuck what they think. And what they turn around to their hubby and go, have you seen that? Chaz has just got a job. So fucking what? So fucking what? I've got to make money like everybody else. You know? And that's real talk.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like, again, are dazed by what you should be doing. Like, I've got a lot of pro footballers that come into the studio and I tattoo them. And their careers are over, 30, 35 years old, it's done. Yeah, that's halfway through retirement, right?
Yeah.
And I know a lot of them, they won't go get a job because they're footballers. They don't want to see themselves at Tesco's on the till or in delivery driver or McDonald's or anything like that. So what they do is they invest in their missus to then do beauty or something like that, and they'll then have the money that comes in because, and then they'll take over looking after the family while they go out to work. And it's, Yeah, I always wondered to myself, like, well, my nephew, he's gonna be like a big footballer. And I say to him, listen, what are you gonna do when you're 30? You're gonna finish, you need to get a trade now whilst you're doing the whole football thing at the same time. So when you do finish, you've run a business successful. So when you come out of it, you could be a business owner
100%.
instead of being back on the tools. You gotta think about later. Like, it's all right thinking
100%.
about now and doing all this, but you're messing yourself up, because when you become 30 and they kick you out because you're too old to play, what's left for you?
100%.
A
I remember that
trade.
Palace goalkeeper, he bought a restaurant in Purley. He was a goalkeeper, I can't think of his name. But he bought an Italian restaurant. And it's still going now.
Yeah.
But he was clever, he invested why he was, and it was Rammer. Because he was playing for Palace. So everyone was
Yeah.
like getting a restaurant. Now it's still doing great, and he don't play for them no more. He's retired, but the restaurant's still going. He invested his money, which that's what you need to do. The worst sport in the game is boxing, the least paid and the hardest sport, and there's nothing for no one after boxing. Now, I know a lot of people that's turned to the drugs, the booze, depressed. I can't start naming names, but I see someone the other day sitting on a bench with a bottle. And I pulled my motor up and I said, "Whoa, what's happening?" "Oh, Jazz, you cunt." And I went, "Put that fucking bottle down." I said, "You're the cunt." You know what I mean? This man was like world champion. So,
Really?
things need to be done in certain sports. In boxing, might just drop it in there because I'm a lover of boxing, but there's nothing for you after, which a lot of these sports, there should be.
There should be something put in play as well that allows you to prepare for, in any sports, boxing, football, cricket, anything, that there should be something put in play for you to understand the end goal, the future, because you know yourself, the more money you earn, you might earn 20 grand, you'll spend 30, and as much as you want to sit there and think, oh, I'm going to get this money forever, you ain't. It's going to come to an end because it doesn't last forever. And things need to be put in play to stop suicide from happening, because a lot of people, they will end up venturing out to that side because they would rather die than show face that they've failed.
100%.
Because they feel like getting a job after being famous, getting a normal job like everyone else after fame, would show that they failed within life and they
Because too
can't.
many people are worried about what other people think and what other people say. And until each and every one of you realize no one cares about you, so worry about yourself. Because when you're dead, now mark me right here, and this is, I shouldn't really say, well, I'm going to say it. When you're dead, you're probably spoke about for 2, 3 weeks, thought about for a month, maybe two if you're lucky, and you're fucking forgot about. And they might turn up at your cemetery once a year if you're lucky.
And it gets less over the
Gets less
years.
over the years. So fuck everybody. Do you make sure you're happy? Worry about your life. Don't worry about anybody else on social media. Let them do them. If they inspire you, so be it. Take it. Don't waste your energy typing. Oh, mate, see you, mate. What have you just got from that? From me, you'll get a block. But from someone else, you might cause them depression. Why would you want to write something to someone that's going to fuck them up? Because that person you might write might have triggered something off and they might take their own life. So you've got to think about what people are typing there on social media. Understand? Because a lot of this typing needs to stop with the hate.
Oh, yeah, it has to.
I'd love to go around these people's houses and knock on a door with about 30 of us. Go, hello, mate, remember me? What did you type? Soon change them. But what I'm trying to get at is do you? Don't worry about anybody. As long as you're smiling in the morning. You might have your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your mum, your dad, your brother, your sister, anybody. And you're smiling, going, morning. That's all that counts. Looking at that phone in the morning, going, oh, you're just a prick you are. look at you. Who do you think you are? Why do you want to even read? All right, babe, would you want coffee? Lovely. Should we go out for a walk today? Life's good. Life's great. Enjoy it. Because no one gives a fuck about you.
How long did it take you to come to this? You know, with all the negative that you've got over the time where people are trying to challenge you because you're a fighter and because you're like, you've got that persona about you.
I get it all the time. I don't entertain it. I had someone threatening knife crimes and all that. Not going to mention no names, give smoke. And I laugh about it. And I just block and block and block and let them just sit there and let them burn on their own. Because a lot of people will try and bring your name and try and get a reaction. I don't know what they get from it. But they want a reaction. And they'll bring you down and they'll say whatever they've got to say. They believe their own lies. And I just believe that no one cares about you. They just want to... Some people like to cause you in misery and pain to make them feel better. I don't know what these people get from it. But what I'm a great believer in is positivity. I'm a great believer in be you, do you. Wake up in the morning, make sure you're smiling. Make sure you're looking to your left or to your right, whatever side she or he sleeps. So today's going to be a good day.
Could have been one of them good nights and you could have had a she and a he there.
Now I've done that before. It's not joking. But yeah, that's what I try and get out there now. That's all I try and do is just turn my social media into positive feedback and let people get inspired by what I do and hope I can pick people up. And it's okay not to be okay. It really is.
I like that. Because it's true, it's okay not to be okay. And you'll find yourself, a lot of people that end up being negative are down in their life anyway and they've got nothing. So what they try and do is they try and pull everyone else down instead of soaking up their positivity and coming up with them. They try and pull everyone down to them and you just like not having none of it, you melt. Do one.
I've lost everything. I had nothing. I had my own business. I was doing well. And I lost it all. But I suppose I've fallen down. Wendy knows she's followed me for a while. I've been down so more times than I've been up. I'm used to it now. I just dust myself off and I go again. What do they say? Drop down 20 times, get up 21, 22. I'm used to it. I always try. I'm a trier. I'm a trier. I might not succeed, but I'll learn and I'll stand back up and I'll go again. That's as far as it goes. As long as you get up and go again, you're sweet. What's gone's gone. What's happened's happened. I've just got a punch out there. But it's happened. I had a spare in the boat. If I didn't, I would have called AA. But it's happened. What am I going to do? Oh, fuck it. It's ruined my day. I've had a fucking punch. It just cost me 55 quid for a new tyre. It's happened. Get over it. Deal with it. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. It's gone. It's gone. What am I going to... It's happened. My bird's just done me. So what? It's gone. See you later. I loved her. Tell her.
Yeah, see you later.
See you later. Down at the brass house. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But what's gone is gone.
Yeah.
Don't dwell on it.
Nah. I love this new you.
Thank you.
I love being around you. You make me laugh. You make me smile. I can see you...
Thank you. The real me.
The real you.
I'm still off mid though, a little bit. Yeah.
No comment. When you sit there and you said, I've got a punch out there in my car, I was like, it doesn't matter because you won't even remember where you've parked it. Like last time.
I remember that.
Yeah, of course I remember
parked,
it.
Parked the motor up, two roads down. We've gone out of Santa Fe and I've come back in. I was so calm, my missus went, where's the car? And I went, it's gone. She said, where's it gone? I said, I don't know. I said, I couldn't tell you. I said, obviously, it's been towed. She said, what do you mean it's been towed? I said, all right, calm down. It's fucking happened. I said, it's been towed. She said, what are you going to do? I said, nothing I can do. Let me go in there and find out. Like, with the restaurant owners, might be a tow truck or whatnot. I've come walking in there. I was all cars. My car's been towed. Everyone's gone running out there.
I've got someone coming to me and said, Chaz's car's been nicked. I was like, what? So I've come flying
nicked
out.
Towed.
And I see you legging it down the road. And I was like, where's he going? They go, I don't know. And you were going, 1 minute, 1 minute. And you parked it down a different road to the one you was looking at.
Yeah, I was the next road I parked it, so it never got towed.
Funniest part of the night, for sure.
Everyone was coming
out. We all
like,
come out of the restaurant looking for his car, and it was just on the next road.
Dying.
And do you know what the funny thing of that is? You weren't even drinking.
I know.
You weren't even drinking. It was an orange juice, mate.
God, I haven't seen when I've had a drink. God.
Mate, it's been a real pleasure for me today to be able to do this with you.
No, I love, brother. It's been emotional. It's been naughty.
Mate, you've got me
as well.
But saucy.
Yeah. It's been good. Yeah, hopefully people can watch this, let it sink in, that it's okay not to be okay. Please talk to someone, a family member, if you're struggling with mental health. Don't let it all just go in there and sit on your own. Listen, even message me. I'm pretty good like that. I try to sit there and reply to as many people as I can. But mental health's real. And we've got you, baby. What happened yesterday, happened yesterday. Today's going to be a new day. Not only for me, for you as well. So go get it.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
I'll end it like that.
Yeah, Leslie, that was brilliant. That was like so perfect.
Ta-ra.
Ta-ra for now.
Thank you, man. Thank you, brother.
Cheers.